Well, I think I'll have a beer.
We don't have no beer, just tequila.
He don't listen to you, asshole.
Shit, Negro, that's all you had to say.
You really suck!
Maybe I'll just have another beer. They're pretty filling, aren't they? Much cerveza!
I've seen some pretty shitty situations in my life, but nothing has ever sucked more ass than this.
Hey, look, mister. We save hard drinks in here for men who want to get drunk fast, and we don't need any characters around to give the joint atmosphere. Is that clear?
I'd knock that shit off if I was you.
Why don't you just kiss my left nut?
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. My name is Dick, and I'm a fat loser.
Who's the black private dick that's a sex machine to all the chicks?
You damn right.
Welcome to Big Foamy Head, the road trip beer show. Rick is actually on a road trip of his own, heading to the wilds of Wisconsin from the frozen Arctic tundra that is Denver, his new hometown. So he won't be joining us, but he will be catching up with us later this week after Thanksgiving has turned into nothing but a really bad memory of your dysfunctional family.
And a lot of tryptophan. Isn't that
That's right. Tryptophan.
Yeah.
There's a thought for a new beer.
Yeah.
Trypto beer. You only need one.
Then you're laying in the gutter.
So it's a road trip show because Mike and I have both been on the road, oddly enough, at times to the same place, just missing each other by a day or so. And that one particular place was New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Ever heard of that? And it's one of those places where you can get drunk without a doubt, but they're really not what you would consider a big beer town. But we uncovered a couple of things, made some explorations, going to tell you all about them. And so we're starting off the show with something from Abita. And I don't know Abita's distribution. Everybody around here knows Abita is distributed all over the South. I think it's up East Coast some. Mm-hmm. But it's like the de facto beer of New Orleans. When you go to New Orleans, if you're on Bourbon Street, Abita Amber and Turbo Dog everywhere. And Purple Haze sometimes. Mm-hmm. We got that here in the grocery store.
You see a lot of the Purple Haze here.
Yeah. So you can get those, and they're all fine beers, but they're a little low alcohol. And so we ran across some on our respective trips to New Orleans, and I brought some back. And so we're going to tell you a little bit about the Abita beers we had and what we're drinking right now. Abita just kind of set the foundation. They make like 50 million different beers. They're all over the place.
That's a lot of damn beers.
It is. That's not a made-up number. They're exactly – I think it's like 49,700 million something. But it's a lot, and they're all kind of sweet, though. Mm-hmm. New Orleans, they like what are you going to do? They like a sweeter beer down there apparently. So I had to get this one because it is an IPA. I've never seen one of their IPAs. So this is – we're drinking the Giacomo IPA, which weighs in – at 6.5% alcohol, respectable. And this is my third one.
It's very good.
It's very tasty. What do you think about it for as far as an IPA goes? The nose on it, it's got a great nose and lots of citrus. You were saying earlier citrus and
– Yeah, it's got a lot of citrus.
It's definitely sweet.
Yeah.
I can smell the sweetness.
You can.
There's an underlying sweetness in the nose.
It's almost like it's got a little sour hint to it in the nose.
Yeah, there's something. There's things under it. It's very refreshing and clean. And then you drink it, and you get that nice hop flavor. And it's like, I would guess they did a lot of hops at the beginning of the boil to get a nice bitter and a lot at the end to get that nice nose. But I get, like you were saying, Martin, just even in the drinking, a little – it finishes a little sweet and a little bitter, and then it cleans up and goes away.
Real quick.
But it's got like – I keep tasting like just a tiniest hint of some kind of spice.
Mm-hmm.
Just – that's to me. Just the tiniest little bit that's a little different from some of the other IPAs that – thank you.
Round one.
That concludes the end of round one. So,
what was that?
We had last week. We had the ski beer. What was it called?
Old trail thing.
Trail beer. The trail mark tall tree trail markers.
Spit it out.
Somebody kiss my ass.
Something. But it was very good. Uh-huh. And obviously made a lasting impression on us. Tall something. We're going to have to go to bigfoamyhead.com and look it up.
Yep.
So would that be a plug for this show?
Yes. Yes, it would.
Yeah. My goodness. I was wondering about that.
I always wondered about that, too. If you plug yourself...
Does anybody listen?
But it feels just as good.
That's right. And sometimes at night when I'm all alone, I plug myself.
You've got to stay away from those electronic devices and the tub.
That's right.
Bring the nuns into it.
So no nuns. This is a religion-free show. But this is really – it's one of those types of IPAs that very citrusy, clean, finishes well. And I just – Are y'all getting any of the little kind of – it's not – you said sour, a little sour smell.
A nose, yeah.
You got sweet, but are you getting any kind of – to me, it's
a little sour's kind of in the background. The sweet, you smell, but right as you're about to take that sip, you get a little sour.
Okay, I'm getting that now. I'm using a little smaller glass. I need to use a bigger glass, but good stuff.
But I love the – I mean, a real grapefruity.
Yeah.
And lemony, grapefruity, citrus, it's there.
You know, I looked and I didn't find any. We'll see if we can find the hop and grain bill because I'm really interested in this and I want to talk to the Abita guys. So, the other beers, Abita beers. Mm-hmm. And I called you about one and you told me to be on the lookout for another one. There are so many really good beers. While I was there, I had the mandatory Abita Amber, of course. And I also had their Fall Fest, a seasonal beer. Mm-hmm. It's quite good. Malty with a little bit of hops. But the one that I absolutely loved and went out of my way to try and find was Abita Andy Gator. And Andy Gator, man, depending on who you ask, it's either a barley wine. I saw it as a Doppelbock, which I don't believe. I don't think it was a lagered beer, but it was great. It was great, and man, I couldn't drink enough of that. They were telling me it was 11% alcohol, and then I saw it as 8.6 somewhere else. All I know is a high alcohol beer, and it gets the job done. And I got a picture. That's the picture that's on this post, so go to the website and look at it. That's how good it was. I took pictures of the beer. And here's the other part about it. This beer was magic. Every
it
time,
disappeared?
No, yeah. That too.
But I'm bumped.
Thank you. We'll be here all week. Please, tip your waiters and waitresses. Remember, the more you drink, the funnier we are.
Two shows.
But the question is, do we do bar mitzvahs?
That's right. Bar mitzvahs, okay. the universal sign for snipping the end off there. I got now, your moil right here.
I'm looking on their website. It says they do a Doppelbock.
Maybe that is a Doppelbock.
Yeah, it says they do. It says released December of 05.
Does it say what? It's called Andy. See if you can find Andy Gator. That's what I have. But let me tell you about the magical properties of Andy Gator. I go into this bar on Bourbon Street, of all places, to have a bar.
What the... Say that again?
A bar on Bourbon Street.
Nah.
Yes, I know. It's true. I was on my way to church. It was an accident.
Oh, okay. Well, then you're forgiven.
Well, there's a really good bar behind the church.
On
Bourbon Street. Okay, so that's why I was on my way to church.
Oh, okay.
I didn't say I was going to stop there. Okay.
I bet you they get a lot of baptisms at that church.
They do. Involuntary ones. They trip and fall face plant right into the baptismal fount there. But
that's the urinal trough.
Oh, is that what it was? That's why no one looked too pleased to be coming to Jesus. So I'm walking down the street. I'm out with all these friends, and I walk past this bar and, like, catches my eye, and I look, and it was called Beer Fest. It's like, oh, yeah, right. Mm-hmm. You know?
No, it was the prostitute out front that got your eye. It just so happened she was standing in front of
Beer Fest. Yeah, she was standing in front.
Okay. You've corrected me now. So I go to the Cat's Meow, which is an infamous karaoke club of sorts where they do all manner of things. And not that we were performing. We were watching and drinking. Mm-hmm. And I choked down a Michelob Ultra. And it's like, I can't do it. I'm going to hurl. So
Did you find that urinal that by the church?
Yeah, I walked past it.
I mean, you could hurl there.
I walked out. and walked back down to Beer Fest, hoping to God they had something other than Michelob Ultra. And sure enough, God, they got taps for days. And Mike, you said you went there too.
Yeah, they got about 50 of them all going down in a single line.
And so they had
a little bit of everything.
They did.
Had the Rogue, and
they had a great selection. A couple of California beers, some East Coast beers. So I pull in there, and they were fairly knowledgeable. I was at the one down the road that was on Conti. Bourbon and Conti, and they have two locations, one up the road on South Peters, which intersects with Bourbon Street. That's pretty at the far end of Bourbon, or I guess the near end, by Canal, Canal, which bisects New Orleans. So it was great. And I said, well, I was looking at all these Abitas, and they recommended, so we'll try the Andy Gator. And so I had an Andy Gator, and man, it was great. It was like they said, they were the ones telling me it's barley wine. So I'm drinking it. I'm talking to them. And what do you know, the girl who was waiting, the bartender, Brandy, and Dan, the other bartender, Brandy, brings me over another full glass of Andy Gator. She says, oh, I accidentally over-poured this and gave it to me. Now, bear in mind, I'm the only customer in there. So that was the magical properties. And it happened again. Every time I went to a bar and ordered a different bar, ordered Andy Gator. This time I ordered it, and it was like the keg ran out.
Oh,
so it's like full of foam, but it's a completely full beer. And the bartender says, oh, that was on me. Let me get you a fresh one.
I'll be done.
So I got another. So every time I ordered Andy Gator on that one magical day, I got free beer.
You know, so, I'm trying to remember. I said I had that select, but the select is the Andy Gator, I believe, is included in the select. It's a seasonal brew, and it's got all these different beers in there. And when you go down to the Andy Gator, it says it's a creature of the swamp. Andy Gator is a unique high-gravity brew made with two-row pale malt, German lager yeast, and Liberty hops.
Okay.
Andy Gator is fermented to a dry finish. I thought so, too. I thought it was pretty good.
Does it have any ABV or anything like that?
No, it doesn't.
Well, on the Beer Advocate, they give it 8.6. My bartenders told me 11% and barley wine and so forth.
They
good
kept
beer.
Calling it a barley wine where I was buying it.
Okay, so we'll see. We're hearing the same things.
Yeah.
And the curious thing about this, and of course I liked it, and so where can I buy it? And they said, you can only get it on tap. They cannot bottle it because of Louisiana laws. So apparently they've got some alcohol limit. So,
you know, I find that kind of really weird to believe because you go to a convenience store in Louisiana and you know what you can buy? You can go in there and buy a margarita in a cup and take it out with you.
Oh, yeah.
A frozen margarita.
Well,
they got margarita-making machines in these convenience stores on
classic.
Every corner.
That is a New Orleans tradition. The daiquiri. It's the daiquiri shops.
Oh, a daiquiri.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they got margaritas.
They got margaritas and
like,
pina colonics
it'll
and the whole deal.
20 feet
of all the little swirly deals.
Yeah.
And, we on one of my trips, actually, out to one of the clients' places, we pulled over a bus. And the driver had absolutely no issue. We said, hey, pull over one of them daiquiri places. And he goes, okay. And pulls the bus in, and all of us get off and go get our daiquiri on and get back on the bus.
I mean, but they got a problem with bottling that
it
type
seems,
of beer.
It seems a little bit country. And they are, how on Bill Street we've got to-go cups and big-ass beers on Bill Street within certain areas. The entire city of New Orleans is a go cup.
Oh,
place.
Yeah.
All bars have it. And Martin, you haven't been there, right?
That's correct.
Are we enticing you to go? Not yet?
Well, I've always wanted to go.
They have women who will give you shots, and I'm talking about alcohol shots, by sticking test tubes between their breastuses.
Yeah, and then you pull them out with your mouth.
Or something. The only rule is it has to end up in your mouth.
Yeah.
The shot.
Oh.
Not the breastises.
Uh-uh.
Now I'm off daydreaming. You come back to me about 5 minutes. I'll be ready.
Well, hey, did the party patrol pull you over on Bourbon Street while you were out there?
No.
Try to sell you a hat?
No. Yeah. Man, I've had all those scams done to me.
Yeah.
The one about, I can tell you where you got those shoes. You got some on Bourbon Street. Give me $5.
Yeah.
So, now, But the Andy Gator was delicious, and all of the beers, and the Beer Fest was a great find. If anybody listening has gone to Bourbon Street, it has been devoid of a range of beers. You had your generic beers, and that was it. So it was really nice. I encourage everybody, two locations, 630 Bourbon Street. I think this is 90-something, as if you could read the damn address if you're on Bourbon Street. But it's a big sign. It says Beer Fest. I got a sticker to prove it. So good stuff. And you were all up in the clubs, and you don't remember where you went.
Man, I have no clue. I had way too much scotch and beer that night, to be honest with you.
One bourbon, one scotch, one beer.
Yeah, man.
All right. Well, this was our Abita Giacomo. Good stuff. Would you have it again?
I would.
Huh? Well, I did twice.
That's right. Yeah. You did. That's right. Well, so this is going down real easy.
Yeah, if it was in the stores here, I'd buy it.
Yeah,
sure.
I think this is one, like you said, we're going to have to talk to our distributor. It's a little high for Tennessee, but, man, ask for it if you can get it. Good stuff. Mm-hmm. And really pleased with the Abita folk. So why don't we take a break? We've got beer news. We've got more coming up, and we got a little – I guess it's sort of a drinking song from your old buddy, Pat Travers.
Pat Travers. that was a very interesting tune, and that tune was...
You caught me with my earmuffs off.
Earmuffs.
Pat Travers. Yeah.
That was Pat Travers?
That was Boom Boom...
I'll go to the lights.
Yeah. An old blues tune. He said so himself. You heard him.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple more things while we're listening to the song occurred to me about New Orleans. There was another cool place called Club Decatur that I went to. Bourbon Street, as far as I'm concerned, is for the first time you go there. But when mm-hmm. you keep going back, there are so many damn bars, restaurants, areas of towns and stuff.
Yeah, it's one on every corner.
Yeah, you don't need to go there. So Club mm-hmm. Decatur was one of them. And the easiest way to tell you how to get there is, did you see the casino while you were there, the Harrah's Casino?
No.
They got an exemption to build a casino. It's not a floating casino.
Uh-huh.
It's there, right there, in the Canal Street. And you walk a block over, and the first cross street you see is Iberville. And that's where my hotel was. And so I looked, and so you walk up Iberville, you cross mm-hmm. St. Peter's, you cross some other street, and then you hit Decatur. Decatur is the street that runs along the river. If you go far enough down Decatur, you get to Jackson Square and Café du Monde and Lafayette Square and all that. So right there on the corner of Iberville mm-hmm. and Decatur, hang a right, and there's Club Decatur. Uh-huh. Nice little bar, very local.
Okay.
No tourist at all coming in there.
Mm-hmm.
Great tap selection. That's where I got my second free Andy Gator.
Okay.
So, good place. And then I made that trip down on Magazine Street, way, way, way down, looking for this place called
Now, where's Magazine?
Magazine is... actually, Decatur. When you cross Canal mm-hmm. Place, all the streets change names. Bourbon becomes Carondelet, and
so
Decatur becomes Magazine.
Everybody lived in Memphis, moved to New Orleans, and did the same thing down there then, right? Changing the names of the streets.
Yeah, just random order, yeah.
Yeah.
In Magazine, as you walk down it, you go past the St. James Hotel, which was the St. James Infirmary, and I think I mentioned that many shows back about I went down to the St. James Infirmary,
uh-huh.
which is the line from the song. So you keep going way the hell down there, and they got the Bulldog. And you said you saw the Bulldog in Jackson.
Well, I don't know if it's the same one. But
it is.
It is the same one?
It's the same one.
Yeah.
Nice tap house.
Oh, yeah.
And they had, in New Orleans, growlers. And I thought, oh, yeah, going to get some Andy Gator to go. They were sold out of growlers. So I was screwed.
Man.
The elusive, magical Andy Gator.
We could be drinking some of that right now.
We could have been. I think we need to just pack our stuff and go.
Road trip.
It's Thanksgiving Day.
What is Thanksgiving? What better thing to have on Thanksgiving Day than beer?
And Andy Gator.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
beer and turkey.
For some reason, they say turkey is important, but I've never had turkey on Thanksgiving. I've always had beer.
That's right.
Beer and football.
Yeah, there you go. Turkey is optional. This is a turkey optional Thanksgiving. So we've got, speaking of beer news.
nice segue, Dick.
Well, I was at a loss for anything creative. So. we brought it back to critical acclaim from one guy.
Hey, at least we have one listener.
That's right.
Thanks, Phil.
As long as Phil's around, we got one listener.
Yeah.
Thanks, Phil. Be sure to listen to My Life as a Foodie.
Well, you know, the fact that we keep sending him gifts and begging him to listen,
we
that
just,
helps.
Yeah. And the weekly tongue bath we give mm-hmm. him, the verbal tongue bath, but such as it is. But all right, so here it is, beer news.
It's time for Big Foamy Head Beer Witness News, the latest breaking, hop-hitting, no-holds-barred coverage of the malt and barley world. Sit back, crack a cold one, and get ready for...
Beer, it's your best friend, you drink a lot of it.
Beer News!
SAB Miller is to acquire Dutch beer maker Kronlich Grolsch. Say that fast 3 times.
Yeah,
Kronlich
I don't think so.
Grolsch.
Fast.
Anyways, the world's third largest brewer, UK-based SAB Miller, is buying the Dutch beer maker, Royal Grolsch, for 48.25 pounds per share, representing an 84% premium over Grolsch's average closing share, the price during the past month.
What's that in real money?
Well, it turns out that the outstanding shares at approximately 816 million pounds, or as in America, that'd be $1.2 billion.
That'd buy you a lot of beer.
Well, they would. And the interesting thing about Kronelijk Grolsch is that they are a Dutch beer, but it's also one of the oldest beers or beer brewers in the world. They've been brewing Grolsch for almost 400 years.
And that, wow. And Grolsch, of course, we know what it's best known for.
The bottles.
Yeah,
Grolsch-style bottles. Mm-hmm. Nobody, well, you know, you can drink that rat piss beer if you want. But
I don't like the beer.
Actually, I mean, you know, it's better than a poke in the eye, but but the bottles are the big deal, right?
Right.
Grolsch bottles.
Well, okay. It so happens that SAB Miller also thinks that they make some decent beer. And part of their portfolio is a Grolsch Premium Weissen, a Springbok, an Ottenbok, and the Amsterdam brand.
Well, that sounds actually pretty good.
Yeah.
But so SAB Miller is now UK-based. Okay, I didn't know that. And that's our Miller friends, soon to be SAB Miller Coors, right?
I thought they were like African or South African or something.
They are indeed South African brewers.
Okay.
That's the SAB.
SAB.
Okay. Man. Well, you know, it's just a crazy time to be a brewer around here. And so this is a done deal, right? Or in the process?
They have signed an irrevocable undertaking to tender their shares to SAB Miller.
Okay.
So that's kind of a done deal.
Kind of a done deal. Hmm. So you know what they said on Austin Powers? When Austin Powers' dad, played by Michael Caine.
There are only two things I can't stand in this world. People who are intolerant of other people's cultures and the Dutch.
Dutch. But one thing I find really interesting in this whole article, of course, me being a nice beer drinker, is that they are actually going to take over a 3 million hectoliter brewery from Grolsch.
That's a big ass.
Wow.
I don't know how big a hectoliter is, but it sounds huge.
That's my point. You could be bathing in beer.
That's a lot.
That is a lot.
That's a bunch of beer.
And this is the first story of all of the movings and shakings in the world of big beer. Last week we talked about prices and how things are being affected and kind of pontificated on how maybe the big boys aren't going to be affected so much because they probably have their own farms and cattle and God knows what else. Next story up relates to this is the again with the damn Dutch. Yeah. Carlsberg and Heineken are teaming up. They're apparently the same. They're owned by the same people or a conglomeration. And they're out to get one of Britain's oldest brewers, the makers of Newcastle. This is not a passive business-like takeover. They've turned into a shouting, pissing match. They have gone after them before. And such a stink was raised by Newcastle, gathering support from the locals. You know, help us. And country pride, national pride, swell up. They rejected the offer, fended off the wolves at the door. Well, they're back, as wolves do, and they are being pursued aggressively, to put it mild. Carlsberg and Heineken has launched a smear campaign to all of the investors of Newcastle, and accusing the majority holders of trying to screw the investors. Mm-hmm. And so they're playing as dirty pool as you can get. But this is like the UK is just in a really, really rough way. If they start losing their flagship lines of beers, it's about all over with.
Well, is Newcastle having problems?
No. It's just that it's a hostile takeover by the – and Carlsberg, we don't really see Carlsberg that much. Heineken you do around here, but you don't really think about it over in Europe. They're huge, right? Mm-hmm. So it's something that we'll keep an eye on to see, but it's just ugly as hell, and they're trying to get in there. And something else, Martin, you were telling me also about Miller. They own Molson too.
Okay. So, Coors does.
Coors does. Okay. And yeah. Coors is going to soon be Miller Coors, right? Molson Coors.
And Molson merged, and it's called Molson Coors now.
So it is hard as hell to tell the players without
S.A.B.
us.
Miller Molson Coors.
Yeah. But they're going to go by Miller Coors. That's their proposed name.
That sounds like a a competing band to the Osmonds.
And that's another one that we had another story, but we said, screw them, about the Justice Department's asked them to produce some more documentation. They're not a done deal yet. So back to the Newcastle, the UK, it's just looking grim because now they don't think they can get as much country pride enough nationalism behind it because of all of the other troubles they're having out in the beer world in the UK.
Yeah, the UK's having a lot of troubles with beer sales as a whole. They say that the sale of beer in Britain has dropped to its lowest level since the 1930s.
Wasn't that when Hitler was around?
Yeah, I think
that had actually. You think beer sales would shoot through the damn roof with Hitler trying to cross the borders, dropping?
But remember,
I know. Let's burn London.
you have to remember, most of the good beers do come from Germany.
Yes, true.
Yeah, that was then, not now.
No.
Now they come from America.
But the brewers over there say they now sell 7 million fewer pints every day than they did in 79 when sales were at their highest level. So sounds like they're struggling. And I work with a guy that's from the UK, and he told me that their DUI laws are stricter than ever. A lot stricter than they are over here in the States, and that's kind of hard to believe because I thought they were pretty strict over here.
Okay, so that's one reason to kind of scare you off of that last pint or two.
Yeah, let's see what else is going on. Cites the soaring cost of barley, malt, glass, aluminum, and energy as factors which are squeezing brewers' profits, and that would be everything associated with brewing beer.
And you've got some stats on there about it's cutting to their profits in a supreme way from 2004 to 2006.
It doesn't say anything about that.
It says, let me look over your shoulder and read that.
Yeah.
That profits have dropped 78% from 2004 to 2006 because of all of this skyrocketing cost. It's a fourth paragraph.
That's not on my sheet.
Yeah, it is. I'll show you.
Okay. See, look, he's pointing. Get your finger out of his ear.
It does say about the taxes have gone up 27%.
Yeah, right after that.
Yeah.
It should say something about the 78%.
No, sir, not on my sheet.
Wait, I'm coming over there. Oh, you're on a different one.
Ah, I told you my sheet didn't say that.
Okay, you got the short one.
I got the Cliff Note version of the
Brewer's
Bitter Over Falling Beer Prices.
He is not incorrect. He's just looking at the wrong hymnal.
Turn in your manly manual to page.
In the Daily News that I have pulled up over here, it's got the cost like you said, the raw materials used to make it. Everything's going up. We've been talking about the hop shortage and the malt. The problem with the malt from the UK. So it's...
Well, what's causing the hop shortage? Weather?
Weather, yeah. Yeah, not good at all. Is that the one?
I'm looking right at right now.
Yeah.
Oh, I see there are 58,000 pubs in Britain.
Yeah, that's surreal, too.
Damn.
And that also has something about where they're making a call to the government about freezing taxes.
Yes, here it is. The BPPA, which also lamented soaring costs of raw products such as barley, malt, glass, and aluminum, called on the government and lawmakers to agree to a freeze on tax on beer sales. That's bad English, even though they're English. That's bad English.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Bad juju.
Yes.
And they do say something there about on the national beverage of Britain, beer. So they're, again, playing the national card. Save our beer, right? Because we're British.
Yeah, when all else fails, get the government involved.
Well, have you found my stat there? I'm determined to show I'm not making this up. It's in there.
Look for
78.
Oh, I see here. The group claims that from 1997 to 2006, beer duties grew by 27%.
Yes.
Against 16% for wine, 11% for cider, and 3% for spirits. cutting brewers' profits by 78% between 2004 and 2006.
Yes, I'm vindicated.
I didn't doubt you. I just knew it wasn't no much.
You're right. You got the different. You got okay. So it's the bottom line of all the data and et cetera is things are going to hell in a handbasket for anybody wanting a good beer in the UK.
It's it doesn't sound good. Well, you know, that it doesn't sound good. Like,
you know,
a
you
lot
could
of
say
factors.
The same thing about gas in America.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's one thing to run out of gas and then you're pissed, but if you run out of beer,
if you run out of gas and you got a beer, it's okay.
It's okay.
But if you run out of gas and you don't have a beer, it's not okay.
Sucks.
That's right. That's
okay. So conversely, if you're out of beer but you have plenty of gas, you still sucks.
True. It does.
Okay.
It does.
But what happens?
Why do you want to go anywhere?
Hey, but what happens if 6 months down the road you run out of gas and you go to buy a beer and you can't afford that beer because now it's $12, $15 a six pack?
No, because it's irrelevant because you couldn't afford the gas to drive to the beer store.
Okay.
So,
yeah, that makes sense.
We're all screwed, and it's only going to get worse.
Over here we pay.
You know, you're making me very depressed. Can I have another beer?
Yes.
Over here we pay what, $7 a gallon for beer, and
okay. I thought, so wait a minute. What gas station are you doing? My BP don't cost that much.
And we pay $3 a gallon for gas, and they probably pay $3 a gallon for beer over there and $7 a gallon for gas.
I think you're right.
That's probably pretty damn close.
But put
you know?
It this way. We pay almost $20 a gallon for bottled water.
I don't pay it.
Well,
I drink it right out of the tap.
Yeah, well, I do too. But if you wanted to, you
there's
know,
a bunch of, yeah, that's true. A lot of these people drink. Of course, like elsewhere, yeah. Who don't have the absolute luxury that we enjoy here in Memphrica of quality drinking water.
Yeah, we got good water.
We got great water. And it makes a good beer, too.
Yes, it does. And makes you want to hold your water.
That's right.
And speaking of beer, you know, we did open one.
We have been drinking on a beer. And what is this? What are we drinking, Mike?
A Delirium Tremens.
And this is from Brewery Huge. We're not sure.
H-U-Y-G-H-E.
Yeah, one of the
Huyge.
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 Okay.
Huyge.
So, somebody.
Oh, now it's on in Yiddish.
Somebody from Belgium.
The matzo ball beer.
There's a lot of Semitic overtones to this show. We were talking about the bar mitzvahs earlier.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Well, do you want to go back to Brokeback Mountain?
No.
Okay.
God, no. Okay. So Delirium Tremens, that's when we had almost a year ago. Or when the hell did we have the Delirium Noel, which is my first exposure to this brewery. And the Delirium Tremens, seen that around. And this you picked up where?
Knoxville, Tennessee, of all places.
At a beer store?
At a liquor store.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the same beers in New Orleans. I thought, what the hell is this doing?
Isn't that
here?
Wild?
From my perspective here, it looks like, and it's from India. I mean, the whole
it does.
Yeah, the way that it's
Indian.
Dressed up.
Yeah, it looks like
it does
kind
of.
Yeah.
With the elephants, except they are pink. Yeah. So they're pink elephants. But yeah, I see what you're saying. And look what's strutting. Down here on the label, what's that? Alligator. There you go. That's the New Orleans, India, Belgium connection.
Now, what do we have? The Tremens? Is that it?
We have the Tremens. We're starting. Yeah. We're sampling one of their wares, and the Delirium Tremens.
What the hell is that right there?
Looks like a ball and a monkey on it, or something.
A dragon. Dragon on the ball.
It's an interesting label. It has a lot of wildlife. And then that little border across the top. And the bottle itself is like an earthenware.
Yes, it looks like a wine bottle or a
clay-looking thing.
I
think it's just
painted. It doesn't look like a beer bottle. Of course, the nice thing is, as we know, light does destroy the taste and quality of a beer. And by putting it in that type of a bottle, you remove the sunlight.
It's not going to see the light at all. And we're getting a little chunks. It's definitely got the Belgian overtones, spice notes, etc., 8.5% alcohol, but what was it? We were all kind of getting like a little kick at first.
Yeah, it was a nice bite.
Was it so much alcohol or flavor?
I think it was flavor.
Yeah, I thought so too. I mean, in my very first sip, I think I got a little bit of a burn, but I hadn't had it since.
Mm-hmm.
And no, it's good. It's got a pretty color. Mine's a little cloudy, but I had bottom of the bottle.
Yeah, I took the last of it. I got a little bit in mine.
It's a very light gold.
I'm looking at mine. I don't have any left.
Yours is virtually transparent.
mine is completely gone.
And no head to speak of.
My goodness. I feel left out. Maybe, did I drink it already? Was it that good?
You did. You drank it all down.
Well, there you go, folks. That's a testament to the quality of this beer. I enjoyed it.
Well, every beer we've had has disappeared.
They're magic beers.
They are magic beers.
The magic beers is when they reappear.
Are you looking up stats on this thing?
Well, I found a little website out there. It's called Alcohol Report. You ever been there? Looks like a message board.
AlcoholReport.com?
Forum.alcoholreport.com.
Okay.
It's just a little forum. And they were talking about Delirium Tremens, and they say it's brewed in Belgium, a city called Ghent.
Well, they have it, Mel Ghent.
I know Ghent. Ghent is about a half hour outside of Brussels.
They talk about this one guy had been there a few times but never made it over to the brewery. Then some guy in Missouri buys it at a liquor store there. And it apparently
has a pretty wide like it's distribution. Everywhere. Yeah.
Well, it says here that it's 8.5% alcohol by content.
Which is a good thing.
Yes. It's a good high quality, nice. Well, that's the reason why you buy it in a liquor store in Tennessee.
Well, yeah. Well, that's right. Knoxville is in Tennessee. Yes. That was geography challenge for a minute there.
But now in other states, you have no problem buying this.
Well, that's what I was saying. I saw it on a tap in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. So it's good. I like it. Belgian strong ale. Nice color, clarity. Honestly, it's not as spicy as some of the ones that I've had, but it has some spice notes.
A little bit.
It's a very light ale.
It is very light, despite being labeled a Belgian strong. The thing about the 8.5 is that's one of those weird numbers that if you drink a good beer, that's not too challenging an alcohol level.
Yeah, that's kind of just above average, probably. A little bit.
I cannot tell you now, after having drank some, I've got no alcohol burn or anything.
No, I'm not getting it.
It's pretty we're probably getting tore up and don't know it.
Yeah, pounded down 8% alcohol.
Well, that pink elephant started moving on me here.
Yeah. It sneaks up on you.
Hey, listen to this. That brewery has been in existence since 1654.
Well, I'm glad they finally got it right.
Man.
Yeah. Oh, and that was okay. Glad you brought that up. Earlier in Beer News, we were talking about Newcastle. They've been around at least that long, too.
Really? That long?
So, lots of stuff. We got more. We'll be back here shortly. We're going to take another break and enjoy this musical interlude.
Everybody's
Now that was an awesome cut.
And did you guess who that was? Because obviously it wasn't Steven Tyler and Joe Perry from Aerosmith. It was a tribute. And you got your first clue it wasn't Aerosmith when the guitar kicked in on the opening. And it's like Joe Perry would burst into flames, poop himself, and go blind if he could ever play that good. There's very few guitar players in the world that can do that, and that was one of them, Yngwie Malmsteen.
Say that fast 3 times.
Once again, with that, the Semitic, we've got the Jewish theme throughout the show, so we're invoking Yngwie Malmsteen. And the vocals by shy, quiet, haunting melodies of Ronnie James Dio. Yeah, Dio!
Hoorah!
But that was pretty cool. Good take on it. I think they made it their own, and nice to hear some of the people who are really, really super well known and respected for what they do take somebody else and do a little homage.
Well, yeah, it's got a great beat and you can dance to it.
So. Well, I just like the fact
the platters that matters, the stacks of wax. It's bigfoamyhead.com. Oh, man.
That has got to be this rogue talking.
It's the rogue talking. Our next beer, what are we drinking, Martin?
Ooh. It's the dry hopped St. Rogue Red Ale.
As opposed to the regular Rogue Ale, new for 2007.
Well, this Red Rogue Ale, which I'm really appreciating, in fact, I like it a lot, as I mentioned during the break. Reminds me of Tina Louise. Whatever happened to Tina Louise?
And Tina,
she died, I think.
Is she dead?
I think she died, didn't she?
We were talking about the red, and this has, looking at it, although not possessing Tina Louise breastises.
This breast die.
I'm sorry, that would be like multiple people. Especially, we're not talking about twins, but sets of twins. Okay.
Ooh.
The beer pours red. It has a red color. The head is a little residual, and it's kind of interesting because we're using different glasses. Mike and Martin are both using regular pints. I took a nice little New Belgium snifter of sorts, and the heads have dissipated all the way around. So it doesn't keep a big head. Usually that's a sign of a lot of alcohol. And here's the curious thing. We don't know how much alcohol is in it. Mm. They give out all these rates. Oh, I looked on Beer Advocate. I looked here and there. Can't find an alcohol rating. The red is kind of like in the pour and in the when you look at it, it's pretty opaque. It's got I'm seeing the tints where the light bounces off of it. It's a red. Mm-hmm. It's a nice, good looking beer.
It's a great looking beer.
The smell, though, to me, the nose on this, I am just eat up with malt. Hardly any hops. What are y'all smelling?
No, not a lot of hop.
I mean, I smelled it and I thought, oh man, this is going to be a sweet, sweet beer.
No, it's by no means sweet.
It's not.
Would you like for me to read the list of the 10 ingredients?
It's got a lot. Have at it.
Yeah, the 10 ingredients are Great Western Harrington, Klages, Munich and Huberd Kartesen.
So that's all the malts.
Correct.
I never heard of that last one.
Crystal 70-80 malts.
More malts.
Chinook and Centennial hops.
Okay.
Free range crystal water. And Tom fermenting Pac-Man yeast.
I thought he was going to say free range chickens.
Chickens. Well, and little chicken squeezins.
And since this is from Oregon, I will have to comment on the fact that they actually are dedicating this to a cow named Fukusuru, 1992 to 2002. Rest in peace.
I saw that on there about they've got this red beer for red meat on the website. One of the numbers, you were reading the numbers off earlier, 44 IBU.
Mm-hmm.
44, depending on how much malt you got behind it, could be hoppy, could be no hops at all.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one I'd like to find out what is the alcohol on this, because more alcohol, the more you got to hop it up to really get it. They dry hopped it. So that's where in the finish, as you guys are finishing this, you notice you got a little bit of hop. Mm-hmm. Left in your mouth, kind of sticks around. And not unpleasant.
It's a real dry beer to me.
It is a dry beer, and it's an Irish ale, so so they tend to be drier beers. The red ales, of course, I just don't like the idea of dealing with colors with beers. But it's good. It's very good. I like that. Chinook's one of my more favorite hops. I was expecting a lot more aggression. It's a very nicely balanced beer, finishes a lot hoppier. We started with a hop. We went to a Belgian, and now we're back on the hops again. And the interesting thing about this, and it's right there on the bottle, they're dry hopping this.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on what you dry hop it with, you get a little extra kind of sort of flavor. Not so much bitter, but a flavor. And a little more nose with the dry hop.
For our listeners, that's not to be confused with the Chihuahua dry humping. It's dry hopping.
Yeah.
Yeah, the dry humping is a whole different,
you know, when you stick
whole
your
different
nose,
flavor.
When you stick your nose in the glass, you can really smell the Chinook.
You said glass, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not in the Chihuahua. Not in the Chihuahua.
Okay.
But yeah. you can really smell that Chinook hop when you really get a...
See, I'm not getting past the malt myself.
Really?
I think, and see, that's why I said we're using different glasses.
True.
And one of our friends, BB Rick Sellers from Pacific Brew News, was talking about glasses and what to drink out of. And I read a couple of things there. There are people out there who swear that if you drink a beer out of a pint glass, you're screwing yourself at all the aroma. From My Life as a Foodie, zeroface.wordpress.com, was also, I believe, on his last show mentioning something about how you get more of the nose if you use a slightly tapered glass. So it may be that we're getting different things simply because of the shape of the glass. I got nothing but malt in
really?
The nose. You would think I'd get some hops. In the drinking of it, in the finish, I do.
Mm-hmm.
I do. And I like this. I think this is a very, very nice beer. It's a nice balance of malt sweetness and the hop flavors. It finishes hopped. It doesn't finish malt.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. It's good. I've always been leery of anything called red or brown.
Yeah.
Just not had much good luck. So this is good.
Would you buy it again?
Yeah, I would.
So I don't think I would. It doesn't turn me on. I like
really?
It. I like it, but.
It's good. It'd be nice to give somebody. Well, okay. All right. I would buy it again. You say, would I buy it again? Yeah, I would. But there's probably other things I'd pick over it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, so far tonight, the Giacomo's doing it for me.
I agree. I like that Giacomo.
It's the cheese.
I'm sorry. I like the Belgium. The Belgium.
You like the Delirium Tremens best?
Yeah, because it just had that bite to it. Now this. Yeah.
But it was like a flavor, but it wasn't a hot bite.
Right. Yeah.
It was like a.
This beer leaves a little bit of an aftertaste that I'm not too fond of.
Okay, and that's what I'm talking about. The hops, it depends on what you want hanging around in your mouth.
Don't you think it's real kind of like you're
wanting to? This would go good with cheese. If we had some cheese, this would probably do all right.
Well, I think cheese would go good. Personally, I was thinking something. Of course, this is where we get into that whole beer pairing thing, and I've seen just two sides.
It's very subjective.
I think the sweet part would work well with spicy foods, but I always thought, you know, either compare or contrast, and I think this would have gone well with spicy foods,
mm-hmm.
especially with the finish. I think the finish would be a whole different thing for eating some foods. But speaking of happy endings, you were talking about Tina Louise?
Yes.
we were talking about red and red beers, and we got onto redheads, and what do you know, Martin brings up Tina Louise, and instantly we all go, oh, yeah, every boy's wet dream in the
Gilligan's
60s
Island
and 70s. And, yeah, Gilligan's Island, Tina Louise, the
Ginger.
Glamorous, the movie star.
That should have been called
Ginger Ann, Marianne.
Yeah. Professor
That should have been called Gilligan's Wet Dream instead of Gilligan's Isle.
So we did a little research into Tina Louise and what she'd be up to. Not much now, right? Because is she dead?
I don't know if she's dead or not. I was just thinking.
We're not
she
sure.
She might be. I don't
she
know.
May be dead. She may not. Well,
Tina, if you're listening, give us a call.
We're trying to confirm.
What did we say? She was born in
1934.
34?
Yeah. 34.
Wow.
So she's not dead.
That's
she's
almost
73.
Like when Moses was a baby.
So well, she may be
for,
around.
For a woman, 73 is not that old.
No, there's a lot of 70 year olds running around out there. But we were looking, and some of the pictures that she had out there when she was, she was born in 34. She went into the Gilligan's Island thing in
64.
So she was right at 30, 29,
mm-hmm.
30. And apparently she had done Bob Denver, or rather, done a play with Bob Denver.
Prior to.
So that's where the Bob did. And apparently things didn't go so cool with them on the set and afterwards. And it said she reluctantly did a memorial farewell to Gilligan when he did. And so.
For those who don't know, that's Bob Denver.
Yeah, Bob Denver. Yeah, yes. What'd I say?
Gilligan.
Okay, I'm sorry. You know, you said Gilligan. Who doesn't know Gilligan, right?
Well, my kids.
I bet there's a lot of people that don't know Bob Denver.
All right, here you go. Here you go. Name the characters on Gilligan's Island. Pretty easy. Ginger was?
Tina Louise.
Tina Louise.
Okay.
Don Wells was Marianne.
Good.
Nathan
Hale was a skipper.
Was a skipper.
Good
Bob
one.
Denver.
Bob Denver was Gilligan.
Who played
Here it is. Here's the hard one.
Mr. Howe.
You ready?
Mr.
Howe. No, the professor who played him. Wait, here you go. Here's an easy one.
Johnson was his name.
Russell. Johnson. Was it Johnson?
Yeah.
Or Powers?
Johnson.
Okay. Russell Johnson. We're going to check that. And Lovey and Thurston Howell. Who played Thurston Howell? Easy one. He also was?
Mr. Magoo.
Jim Backus.
That's the name I was.
And Lovey was?
I have no idea. I don't remember.
She totally forgot.
Lovey, if you're out there, give us a call.
She'd be dayed, too.
Hey, we got the Gilligan's Island Death Watch. Who's left? Maybe Tina Louise and Marianne.
Nathan Hale died, didn't
he? He's dead, too, yeah. But he was around forever. Russell Johnson. Probably. Is he still alive?
I think he may be.
Okay. The Gilligan Death Watch continues. Further updates on future installments of Big Foamy Head. So,
and if anybody knows the answers, give us a call.
The
lines are open.
That's right. Caller, you're on the air.
I'll tell you what we need to do.
I want one of those mountains of wax.
I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to do a beer haiku.
Mm. Okay. All right. And see, you know, Rick's not here. Are you going to do the honors?
I've got one. I like it.
Okay.
Step up to plate,
Mike.
Spit it out.
What you got. I mean, this is like Muhammad going to the mountain. Okay.
This one fits right in with our show tonight.
Let me lead you in. Ladies and gentlemen, the Interpretive Dance Theater, Big Foamy Head, presents Beer Haiku.
Take one 10-ounce glass, fill with Newcastle Brown Ale, top up frequently.
Beer haiku. Class, culture. Good job. Good job. And topical. Man, we're all up in that beer shiznit.
We slam dunked that mother.
Okay.
And any mothers out there, don't call.
That's right. So, good stuff. Great beers. Nice little interesting road trip beer selection of things we brought back. We got a lot more coming at you fast and furious on the Road 100. Be sure to listen very soon. Big Foamy Head coming at you. And also visit our friends on beersafari.com and all of the beer podcasts that are out there. The best beer podcast. I'm going to say codpiece sooner or later. The best beer podcast and a few that suck. So visit beersafari.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
Take care.
Come back and see us.
What does she have going on a long time? The people are saying you're gonna put the kid down and roll out. Well, look at what you do. You can call it what you wanna, but I call it messing with the kid. And anything you want, but don't you just see? And don't you kid by the time you get paid? But well, no. As a gift, I work for my money on an 8-hour shift. But well, yeah. Oh, look at what you did. You can call it what you wanna, but I call it nothing with the kid. We'll be right back.
call.